Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Analysts at NBC Sports Chicago and Will Perdue, and our Bulls insider Mark Strotman, who's already been grinding away here in the early parts of the season. And guys, today before practice, as we always do, we get to hear from Fred Hoiberg, who stepped up to the microphone and before even allowing us to ask a question said, "I've got something to start with," and that was that Chris Dunn, after the game in Dallas, had an MRI taken. I think it was more of an evaluation, and then this morning, which is Tuesday morning, had an MRI done that revealed a moderate sprain of his MCL in his left knee. Dunn expected to be out now the next 4 to 6 weeks, which is somewhere in the ballpark of 14 to 20-ish games that Chris Dunn will miss. And as we have seen in the first two games of the Bulls season, where he was out celebrating the birth of his first child, that goes to a campaign start. It could possibly be a Shaquille Harrison start. There is Tyler Ulis on the bench, and we've seen Archie Diakono hit the floor as well. But let's just start with this injury to Chris Dunn and what this means or how this changes expectations moving forward, Mark.
Yeah, I don't think it moves the needle too much in the end course of the NBA season. We're not talking about the Bulls as contenders or anything like that, but this is still a brutal blow for the Bulls. And when Lauri Markkanen went out, it was, okay, we still got Bobby Portis. We can put him in the starting lineup. We spent $20 million on Jabari Parker, who's a natural power forward anyway, so you didn't like to lose him, but you had the depth there. And even when Denzel Valentine sprained his ankle, you still had Antonio Blakeney, who you committed to in the offseason. You spent a first-round pick on Chandler Hutchinson, so you felt like there were players there who could replace him. With Dunn, I mean, this is really the one guy you didn't want to lose from a depth chart perspective, but also he's their best defender, and this is a team that is in the early going ranked 27th in defensive efficiency, and now to lose Chris Dunn for, like you said, the next 14 to 20 games, it sounds cliche, but this was the one guy they really couldn't afford to lose going forward.
You're absolutely right, and it is, I don't know if irony is the right word to use, but he was the one who joked about it just like 2 weeks ago, how he wouldn't be jumping into the stands because the one thing he couldn't afford is to not be healthy this year, and now we've seen him for one game, and he's out again. Will, what are your first, thoughts or reactions hearing this news?
Well, you know, because of the struggles they've had on the defensive end of the floor, you were hoping that with the return of Chris Dunn in the Mavs game, that he would help instill that culture of, hey, we really have to take pride in what we're doing on the defensive end of the floor. That's been their biggest struggles, along with other things. But everybody's talking about why there's, you know, why and how there's so much scoring in the league right now. But even then, there are times where you have to continue to rely on your defense to make stops, and the Bulls just haven't been able to do that. And, you know, we had continued to talk, and when I say we, Mark Schanowski, Kendall Gill, myself, about, you know, how have they developed this culture, and they just haven't been able to do it. And you had hoped with the return of Dunn that that would be the case. And I didn't expect it to happen immediately, but he was the one guy that you talk about, the head of the snake, that really takes pride in his defense. And you've seen stretches over the three games where this team has played well defensively, but they just can't seem to keep up that intensity for extended periods of time, especially, as everybody notes, the last play of the game against the Detroit Pistons. In my opinion now, that to me now starts to put more pressure on Zach LaVine, because he's, to this point, because of the injury to Lauri Markkanen, has been the face of the franchise. We all know what he's done offensively, you know, 30-plus points per game. But at some point now, with no Chris Dunn out 4 to 6 weeks, there's another individual that has to step up and start taking accountability for the defense. Now, Zach LaVine said all the right things after the loss to the Dallas Mavericks last night, but now does that translate into, are they actually going to do something on the floor in order to truly make that commitment and that dedication to the defensive end of the floor? Now we have to wait and see.
You mentioned somebody has to step up. Of the names that we listed there in Payne, Archie Diakno, Ulysses Harrison, Mark, who do you think, and it was interesting for those at home listening to this, just to give you a vibe into practice and the way things go. I got the impression when Fred Hoiberg stepped up and started this, he let it be known two or three different times he had just received this news. You could read on his face this almost exasperated feeling. Without him saying it, you could just feel by looking at his eyes and just his body language that this is such a blow to the Bulls, who I think, even though starting 0-3, they thought they could kind of get this group to mesh together, and then adding Markkanen, and okay, here we go. And now it's like, I think he is thinking, wow, what more could happen? But Mark, of those guys I mentioned, who do you think he turns to? I mean, is this going to be campaign like we've seen in the first couple games, and that's what makes sense? Or do you start to see maybe Shaquille Harrison a little bit more?
Well, it'll be pain from the jump, especially because he had 17 points against the Pistons, and he did look pretty good, and he pushed the pace pretty well, and I know that's something Hoiberg is stressing. But just to go back to Will's point, Chris Dunn was the best point guard on the Bulls. Obviously, he was the starter, and when he came back, you expected it to change. But one of the reasons he was so helpful for the Bulls was he made Zach LaVine a better defender, because there was less pressure on LaVine to be the guy in the backcourt. He made Cameron Payne better because now Cameron Payne is on the second unit and expectations are a little bit lower and he's more comfortable playing with those guys all through preseason and training camp. So it's really just sort of that domino effect where now everyone gets bumped up a slot, and it's something they're not used to. It's something they're not, you know, their expectations improve, or, you know, they increase as well. So to answer your question, I think it'll be Cameron Payne, and I think Archie Diakono has been fine. But again, they signed Shaq Harrison to a pretty substantial deal. This isn't just a two-way contract. This isn't, you know, they want to see him perform, and he's probably the best defensive player of the group. I don't think he's Gary Payton 2.0. I don't think he's some incredible defender, but they'll want to see what they have, and especially now when you unfortunately look at the schedule, there are probably some losses coming on the schedule, and so you're going to want to see what you've got while Dunn's out.
You mentioned the schedule, and that's one of those things where I shake my head and think the irony, the coincidence of Kemba Walker being the first guy they're going to see. And
twice.
Yeah, twice, really, because they're facing Charlotte twice in the next 4 days or whatnot. And that's, I mean, what an assignment when you got to, now Fred's got to turn to who to slow him down. And I mean, what do you think is going through not only Fred's mind right now, Will, but just this team in general and where they stand mentally?
Well, first of all, let's also talk about the third game on that schedule. It was against the Atlanta Hawks and Trae Young, who just dropped 30.
Great point, yep.
So all of a sudden...
I didn't want to throw both those there. The poor fans listening to this right now, you know?
Well, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's already dropped 40, a guy that's in a contract year, a guy that people are talking about being traded, and Kemba Walker, and they got a home and home with Wednesday and Friday's game, and then Trae Young on Saturday. So... you know, let's go back to the Fred Hoiberg situation for a second. Mm-hmm. He comes into the season with the first really healthy roster that I think truly fits the style of play that he wants to play. And what happens right out of the get-go? No Lauri Markkanen, who some think is the most important player. Mm-hmm. Him and probably Zach LaVine are, you know, 1 and 1A. He's out. And we don't know when he's going to come back, sometime after December 1st. And then all of a sudden... Chris Dunn has a baby. You don't question that, but he misses, unfortunately, the first two games, and then when he comes back, he hurts himself. So now he's out 4 to 6 weeks. And you would think that because of how things have gone, the Bulls are going to be very conservative. So you think about the games that he misses. Oh, and let's throw some more you-know-what on the pile. Who comes in on Monday? The Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And then, oh, by the way, I forgot – and then Houston comes in next week, and then Denver comes in next week, and then Indiana comes in next week. I mean, you start to wonder about, and I, is there a curse out there? Have they absorbed the Billy Goat?
Listen, just because I do the Cubs, I don't want you throwing that stuff my way, okay? That's not fair, Will.
And that honestly had nothing to do with you, but
you
start to wonder because of, you know, the tank, the rebuild had been fast forwarded because of the Jimmy Butler trade, the development of the players, especially Lowry Markkanen, but yet there always seems to be some obstacle. And I know Fred's on the hot seat a little bit too because he's in the fourth year of a 5-year contract. And he's finally had that roster that he's excited about. They're going into the season. He knew they were going to have some work to be done, especially on the defensive end. But their ability to play his style offensively and the way that scores have exploded this early in the season, that's right down his alley. But unfortunately, he just continues to lose player after player after player. And I hate to go back to Tom Thibodeau, but it's now next man up, do your job. But it kind of makes me think about what we did, last year, 2 years ago. It's now point guard roulette again. And the question is, who's going to start if a guy has a bad game? People were peppering Fred Hoiberg about, okay, who's your starter? Cameron Payne didn't play that well. You know, should it be Archie Diacono? Who should it be? And now all of a sudden, as Mark pointed out, Shaquille Harrison. They gave him guaranteed money in both years. So they obviously like something about him. And Tyler Ulis, I think, is quite honestly the best scoring point guard of all those guys. He's on a two-way contract, but is he going to get some minutes? So now all of a sudden everything's back up in the air.
One of the things Fred Hoiberg mentioned about Shaquille Harrison, who does, by the way, like to go by Shaq, so I just want to get that out there. We're not making that up. He does like Shaq. But one of the things Hoiberg mentioned in him is they like his size. And this guy, Mark, you have a little bit more on him, and from a defensive standpoint, he may do some really good things out there. But I wonder, I mean, is this going to kind of just be by committee in a way that Fred's going to see who he can maybe catch some lightning in a bottle from with these four guys?
Yeah, it's going to have to be. And you mentioned these string of point guards coming. The Bulls could realistically be 0-10 when they go to New York, I think on November 10th. I mean, it's the hits are going to keep coming, and it's a point guard league. And so it's not you're replacing a position that you weren't deep at to start, but it's quickly becoming the most important position in the NBA. And so, yeah, Fred's going to have to mix and match. There's going to be times when maybe he wants to push the pace, and so he throws Tyler Ulis in there. If they need a stop defensively, which it seems like they're going to be needing in the next few weeks, and you know, 4 to 6 weeks probably, then you could see Shaq Harrison. But again, it's going to be about mixing and matching, and that's why Fred Hoiberg, you know, the media people like that preseason went from 8 to 5 games, but Fred Hoiberg mentioned it multiple occasions. He really had wished for a longer preseason and a longer training camp because he wanted to see what he had in some of these guys, and now he's going to be having to do it in regular season action. It's not ideal for Fred in the slightest.
No, not at all. And, Will, only because you brought up the word, and we'll, I don't want to be doom and gloom on this for the poor fans listening, but you used the T word, and right now there's fans at home looking at 0-3, the situation with three of their guys, four of their guys out with injuries. Is this going to be a season where they consider tanking again?
I don't think yet. I mean, I personally believe that there's probably a date on the calendar where if their record is not what they want it to be, that they take that into serious consideration as far as, okay, we're still going to get Zach LaVine's minutes, Jabari Parker's minutes, because he's on a tryout. I mean, he's on a $20 million tryout. They hold the rights to that second year. They control whether it's guaranteed or not. You know, what about these guys we signed? Cameron Payne, Shaquille Harrison. And you know, the interesting thing is, a guy that could really help them in this situation that's also injured, and a guy that claims that he should be a starter, is Denzel Valentine. Mm-hmm. We haven't even brought that up. How disappointed is he because of an injury? This would be the golden opportunity for him to prove his worth to this team, and he's not given that opportunity. But I think when it's all said and done, as we continue to go through Cameron Payne and Archie Diacono and Tyler Ulis and Shaq and possibly even Blakeney a little bit, I think what you're going to see is Zach LaVine is going to become the primary ball handler, not the point guard, but the primary ball handler with that first unit. I think that's going to put Jabari Parker even back with playing more minutes with the second unit as the primary ball handler, regardless of who the point guard is. Just because you're the point guard doesn't necessarily mean you're the primary ball handler. But I think even more so now because of this injury, Fred's going to continue to really hammer home the importance of these guys playing with pace as far as pushing the ball so that the defense cannot set up. What they do on the defensive end of the floor, I really have no idea.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.
There's a lot more pressure on LaVine now, for sure. Sorry.
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point with LaVine has been so good in the pick and roll early on, and he's not going to continue the clip he's shooting at on some of those incredible three-pointers. But if you can make LaVine the primary ball handler, potentially you can put a Blakeney in the lineup where you have a shooter to go off off LaVine, because Campaign hasn't made a three-pointer this year. Archie Diacono is not someone that can sustain that for 20 minutes a game. And Ulis really isn't a spot-up shooter at 5'9". So maybe you do see more Blakeney with LaVine being that primary ball handler, sort of like a James Harden, just in theory, not in the same area code, but just the way that they run their offense in Houston. I know Fred wants to shoot more three-pointers, so maybe you see a guy like Blakeney or potentially Valentine when he comes back. What I wanted to ask you, Will or Kelly, is if Lauri Markkanen's ready to come back on December 1st, and Chris Dunn is still 3 weeks away, and the Bulls are, let's say, they're 3-20 like they were last year, isn't there a lot of incentive? Maybe you talk about that date on the calendar. Isn't there incentive to just let Lauri sit a little bit? I mean, at what point do you, if he's healthy, he's going to play, but at what point do you let him sort of ease back in, sit him out on back-to-backs? At what point do you make that determination?
Again, I think that they won't publicly admit that, but I think there is a date and a formula that which they take into consideration that they do that. I think now there is no rush whatsoever to get Lauri Markkanen back. I think in theory before this injury there was, because of the fact that they're playing in the Eastern Conference. But because of the fact that now we sustain this injury, this is really putting the onus on the defense, which has struggled up to this point. We don't expect the defense to get any better anytime soon. I don't think Lauri Markkanen comes back until he's 100%. And when I say that, I mean, they're going to ask him, hey, how do you feel? I feel great. Okay, you feel great. We're going to give you another 10 days. And that 10 days could be 4 or 5 games. Because now they're like, there is no hurry whatsoever to get this guy back. But I think they're also going to keep an eye on where are other teams in the league. Where is Washington in this? Mm-hmm. Where is Miami in this? Where is Milwaukee in this? Because we weren't talking about the top 4 spots anyways. We were talking about, hey, best case scenario, maybe a 6 seed, 7 seed, but more likely an 8 seed. So where are they in that best case scenario playoff picture? And after 2 weeks, I imagine that Dunn's going to get reevaluated. They'll get an idea of how he's actually healing. And is that 4 to 6 week number actually a reality? Because I think they're going to give it their all at least till the first of the year. And that's what I would say is the cutoff point when they make a decision on which direction they go.
Well, it certainly will be interesting over the next couple weeks to see how this unfolds. And again, at this point in time, we weren't able to talk to Chris Dunn. We actually found out the news after having spoken to Zach LaVine. So moving forward, we'll hear the reactions of the players and kind of where they are in the grand scheme of things, how they're feeling. And it's the Charlotte. Am I right? It's Charlotte on Wednesday, sorry, and that is on NBC Sports Chicago with Will, Mark, Kendall going at 6:30 for the pregame show on our network. I'm still figuring this whole schedule thing out, guys. Bear with me. So, but other than that, we'll see how this goes, and we will keep you posted with all the latest updates right here on the Bulls Talk podcast, again, presented by Coors. For Mark and Will, thank you, guys. I'm Kelly. We will talk to you guys soon.